My talk this evening is something I've been thinking about, and I know a lot of you, well, not so many of you tonight, but perhaps as I process in this talk, it'll relate more so to you. I've been thinking about this this title of the talk for some time. Let me share it with you. Feeling lost and following God. Feeling lost and following God. What's it like for you when you feel lost, but yet called to follow God? This morning I spoke on this whole aspect of following God in a world full of confusion, but I want to change it slightly this evening and just look at what it means to truly follow God when we have a sense of being lost and we're unclear of our future or unclear of where we even find ourselves. And I say this, you might not be feeling that way this evening. Everything might be very clear for you, and that is fantastic. But as I walk the highways and byways, as you walk the highways and byways, as we meet and have coffee, or even if you're new here and have a chat, there certainly seems to be an essence or an aroma of insecurity that is very much prevailing our society, not just in Ireland, not just in this nation, but across the whole world. And I think when we have incidents like we've just heard from Peter, shaking the very foundations and fabric of society, that only adds to this sense of being lost. And I think we see that from theological frameworks, we see that from various commentators that come from a theological background, but we also see it from those who are involved in a secular background. You know, it's not just the Christians who are talking about the sense of being lost. It's not just, you know, the preachers, myself, who stand from their ivory towers and cast out commands from moral high ground to say that you're all lost and we're all found. It's not just coming from this sense of we're right and you're wrong, this kind of theological framework. It's coming from every fabric of society. Let me give you an example. Is there any avid readers of newspapers here in the congregation tonight? Who loves to pick up a newspaper and read it? Anyone? Amy, wow, nice work for your age, good job. I just got an Amazon Kindle for Christmas from my wife, so everything's gone digital. It's not as good as picking up a newspaper, may I say. As I said, I've just been thinking about this, praying about this, and meeting with a lot of you folks on a long basis, or just individually on a short basis, and I came across this article in the Weekend Review of the Irish Times on the 7th of November 2009. And it's basically framed a lot of the conversation that's happening in the media now, and it's been backed by people like Fintan O'Toole. It basically, the headline has said, "No Country for Young Men." And I was very shaken by this, and the reports that followed on, and the Independent, Examiner, on the news and so on. Listen to the tagline. According to many reports this week, young Irish people, and men in particular, are bearing the brunt of the recession with potentially devastating effects on their lives and the economy. They are now called members of the so-called lost generation, and in this article they discuss their plight. And without going down through it, it's just very harrowing to hear this. And I think, I know we're not all part of that lost generation, there's people above that and even below that. However, there is this sense of being lost there. So I guess as a leader in a church or someone involved even in a social understanding, how can we offer a kind of a way forward in the sense of being lost? Like, if we are and we do exist in this time of being lost, what can we offer? What can we truly offer with the lasting sense of knowing hope? It's not just there. Here's some more examples for you. I did a search on the internet to the Irish Times of the last 10 years. Got a lot of time on my hands, you know. And basically looked at the word confusion in the various articles over the last 10 years. There was hundreds of them. Here's just a few of them. There's confusion for you about what it means to be a consumer. Certainly not for my wife, as she used my Visa card. There's confusion over state banking, confusion over managerial range. These are all headlines in newspapers over the last 10 years. Confusion about college, confusion about jobs, confusion about economic policy, confusion about the environment, confusion about where we live, confused legislation, confusion about global confusion, confusion over Lisbon, and so on and so forth. And I think I don't want to be sort of laboring a point here. I don't want to be pushing something that isn't there. But I think it would be fair to say, as we start off looking in the next 10 minutes or so, that there is a sense of confusion out there. And I don't want to have, as they call theologically, chronological amnesia. I'm not saying it's much worse now than it was before, because things were bad in the past. But I do think there's that real sense of confusion going on there. Would you agree with that? No. Okay, well, how about we put some music on then? But would you generally have a sense, do you know, hands up who knows people who feel lost and confused at the moment? Yeah, maybe it's even yourself. And I think I just would like to offer a few bits and pieces from the Bible specifically that can help you or help people you know who feel lost. But may I say this before I start? I feel it my obligation as a church leader or pastor to try and help the best I can you through this process, young or old, younger or older, whatever it may be. And so if you're struggling with something, if there's something that's deep within you that you need to even talk about, give me a call, talk to me after the service, email me, because I might not have all the answers, but to talk is something good. And if you read through that article, and I've been reading some psychologists about this, it's the lack of communication that is really perpetuating the sense of being lost. So we're here to talk. We're here to give information if you do feel lost and you know someone. And I think, I hope that's a help to you. And I hope wherever you are, that is important that we as a church, and personally feel very strongly about that. Because I can relate to this sense of being lost. I guess as I was thinking about this and preparing, and slightly different to this morning, I kind of started off my academic career, for want of a better word, in UCD about 10 years ago now. I did a science degree in UCD and had a great time there, and I kind of thought I knew how my life was going to pan out. And I got a good degree from there, started up my own business. That business was bought out by a bigger company called Quilcha Forestry Company, and I ended up working for Quilcha. Moved up the ladder, became a manager, a regional manager, so on and so forth. And then right in the middle of all that, my mother was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Basically out of the blue. And I've got quite a big family, there's 7 of us in total. And she was diagnosed with cancer. And I never forget, everything was going well in my life. I had this good job, 85,000 a year, thereabouts, plus, you know, great sort of sense of knowing what was ahead. Bang! Everything changed in that one instant. And before my mum got cancer, I wasn't a Christian. And she was, and essentially to the jigs and the reels, she shared her faith with me. And I kind of journeyed on, I guess, knowing Christ deeper and deeper. But the kind of strange thing about it was that I was in this tension between kind of wanting to progress my career, but yet, as we've sung about earlier on, this sense of emptying self and becoming more Christ-like, that tension. And I just felt totally lost. I wasn't sure about where I was going. I wasn't sure about my life. I wasn't sure about anything at all. And I remember one particular time sitting in a coffee shop, of all places, in Costa Rica, in Latin America, as you do. I was working on a project with Quilcha. I was sort of doing some project management for the World Bank and Quilcha. And I'd since entered into training to become a pastor. And I remember sitting in this coffee shop, having been accepted to become trained and become a Church of Ireland minister. And on my right-hand side, there was a guy called Ray. He was basically a development officer, a project manager, fantastic guy in development. And he just basically said to me, he said, "Rob, I want to offer you a job to continue in this lifestyle and start working in project management all around the world." And I can remember, in one time, like never before, just being totally confused. Because on the one hand, I had these doors opening to be a pastor, and then the other hand, this door opening up into this amazing profession. And I think I was so ripped apart by that. I was just torn, because my status, everything that I wanted people to know about me and how I was perceived, was wrapped up in, I guess, the avenue of becoming the project manager. And yet, in the back of my mind, and this sense of being lost, this one scripture, what I want to share tonight from Proverbs 3:1-8, specifically verse 5, is, "Lean not on your own understanding, rather trust in God, and he will make your path straight." And I can remember the time in a sense of confusion. I took the choice of becoming a pastor. The salary's not as good, but the perks are okay. And I'm glad I made that decision. But I tell that story, many of you have heard some of it to some extent, but I tell that story because in my life now I have some clarity, but I do know what it's like to feel totally lost with decisions and indecision. And I think ultimately, much more than me being able to relate to you, the thing that I want to point across is that God relates to you in that tension. Whatever you are in at the moment, you might not even believe to a full extent, there is a God that cares passionately about you. And I don't say that from a subjective nature. Take any of the New Testament to a certain extent, and there's constantly this reminder that I am with you, I am for you, I am not against you, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Even in the times of great atrocities, even the crucifixion, Jesus is saying, forgive them for they don't know what they do. I am with you, I am for you, not against you. And I think just from a practical point of view then, I guess I meet a lot of people in my job and they're saying, like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's happening. And one person said to me a few weeks ago, if only I had a map. If I just had a map and you could tell me where to go. Well, unfortunately, I don't have a spiritual map. I do have a Kindle, but I don't have a spiritual map. But as I was thinking about this aspect of having a map, have you ever gone somewhere totally new before? Yes, I'm sure you all have. I have a dream, as a famous man once said. And that dream, Paul Donnan is going to go with me, he just said tonight. That dream is to go to, anyone know where this is? Where is this, Mel? Yes, it's Antarctica. It's not Kerry. It may have looked like Kerry a few weeks ago with the snow, but it's not Kerry. And on my fridge, as some of you will know, there's a little newspaper cutting with the exact price and how to get there. And I'm thinking of bringing my family there. It's a good place for families, you know. The holidays aren't, the beaches aren't that crowded and so on and so forth. But it's kind of a dream that I want to go there. And I think all of us have dreams, all of us have aspirations, all of us have something that we want from our lives. All of you have something that you want from your life. And I think that we suppress those, we push them down. Another good book that I'm reading is called Leading Change by John Cotter, a fantastic book about how you apply change to your life to follow your dreams. Again, it's secular, but I think there's a lot of these things we can learn. So what are your dreams, if you like, but you feel lost? What are the things that you've given up on because it's been too difficult, or it just hasn't worked out the way, and you've just kind of accepted the lowest common denominator? And I would like to offer you a map, if you like, a little bit like this. When you go to an unknown place, you need a map. I would like to offer you this little portion of scripture that will help you, if you like, in the map of your life. So if you want to open up Proverbs 3, let's just look at it very briefly, folks, just as we share with this tonight. Proverbs 3, 1-8, and then we're going to hear from Malcolm. I'm going to wrap this up in about 5 or 6 minutes or so. That's Proverbs 3, verses 1-8. So where I'm coming from with this is that to go to Antarctica or to follow a dream, if you like, you need a map. And I think in our lives, in our Christian lives, we certainly need maps as well. Now, as Christians, there's three main maps. There's the Spirit of God, there's good counsel from fellow Christians, and there's the Word of God. And I believe that's one of the primary maps that help us to follow our dreams. It can be quite difficult to follow the map, but here's a great portion of Scripture that helps us follow that. Let me read it. Proverbs 3, 1-8. I'm reading from my Kindle. Now, I said I'd put that in the talk because Dillis, my wife, is going to hear it, and she wanted to make sure I was reading from it. So, Proverbs 3, 1-8. My son, or may I put in there, my daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. here's the meat in the sandwich. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I don't know if you've ever been on a long journey or you've been even lost on that journey, but let's take, for example, if I'm travelling from Dublin to Kerry, as I recently did. We passed by Port Leash, we stopped in Ross Cray to get McDonald's for our kids, which are going totally mad in the back. We got lost in Adair, lost in Abbey Field, lost in Castle Island, eventually made it to Killarney. But along our way, when we passed certain components of that journey, i.e. Port Leash or i.e. Ross Cray, we knew we were on the right track. And I think this portion of scripture, when I talk about it being a map, where exactly are you in these varying portions of scripture? For example, there's five main points or markers that I would like to say to us tonight on this map. The first is verse 1, remember Christ's teaching. I guess in this new year, I'm really challenging myself. How do I remember Christ's teaching? Is it through MP3s? Is it through reading God's word on my Kindle? Is it by listening to talks? Is it by actually getting into the Bible in a small group? How do you actively engage in remembering God's word? Like, is it something that you've just let slip? Or is it something that you just hear from others? Is it something that you find in books? Or do you get it firsthand? Do you remember God's teaching, first one? The second is, do you have a sort of a posture, an understanding of being full of love and faith? Is your posture one of love and faith as you journey through life and the map of life? Or is it one which is the antithesis of that or the opposite of that, which is lack of faith and just constantly giving out the whole time? Because I think posture is very important as we journey through life. Jesus always had an upright posture of faith and belief and love. The third point is the very essence of what we're looking at, is that we do not lean on our own understanding, and that is the hardest one, I think. Don't you find that when decisions come, when you feel lost, it's trying to work it out yourself, trying to find out yourself, and yes, there is portions of your life where you need to just do it, but actually, is your kind of posture again that of trusting and believing in God first, or is it that you sort it out and then get him to bless it? Do you see the subtleties of it? It's actually realigning our posture. The next point is understanding to be thankful for God in verse 6. I don't know, I've been reading in the newspaper about Haiti and listening to Peter, and I just came across an article there actually in the Irish Times yesterday about a woman who was able to be thankful for her situation. When she's surrounded by death and pain and her map is totally ripped up, if you like, she feels lost. But yet being able to be thankful in that situation. Like, I find that very hard if I'm lost, not sure of the future, but actually saying, thank you, God, that I'm lost. And actually what happens within us is the faith bubbles up within our very persona. And then the last point, which I believe is very important, is do not be proud in your own eyes. Verse 7. And I think you would have seen in the papers, Bernard McNamara, that property developer, did you see him in the papers there? My wife worked for him for 5 years as a PA. He was a very prideful man, and I think he was full of all sorts of things. But to see him on the news, basically nearly crying and saying, I'm totally wrong, it's my fault that I've got myself in these situations, I think there's something about him not being prideful in his own heart that loads of people are sort of gravitating towards him, even though he's one of these dreaded property developers. So I think in our journeys of life and in the map of life, if you like, as we had markers as we're travelling from Dublin to Kerry, we go along by Port Leash and Ross Cray, these things offer us a map. So when you're on your journey, how do you remember Christ's teaching? Are you full of love and faith? Are you thankful? Do you lean on your own understanding first? Do I do that? Or are you proudful? Do you full of pride in your own eyes? And we're going to hear from Malcolm in a few moments, just to kind of underpin what I'm saying from a personal point of view, because this is a scripture that's very important to Mal. And we're just going to hear from him in a moment. But I think just for a second, Paul, could you just put those points up on the screen? I've minimized them there on the desktop in a PowerPoint presentation. Just in our own lives, as Paul puts them up there, where are we in relation to these points, honestly and openly, in this new year? What are the things in our lives that we need to realign ourselves, and also in the situation that you find yourself? The uncertainty around what is ahead. What are the things that practically, and I'm always in my own teaching trying to give practical things that you can take away so you can apply them even tomorrow morning? And just to look, and then a few moments, I'm going to ask Mal up just to share. So Malcolm, do you want to come up and maybe share your insights and your wisdom on this? This is Malcolm, a good friend of mine and ours here in the church, and he's just to share a few things. Up to you.
Just said to Philip there, I have no idea what I'm going to say. And Philip said, but the Lord does. And actually, not knowing really what I'm going to say doesn't worry me, because that's the theme, isn't it? Trusting the Lord. I just wanted to say something. There's something that really struck me there when Rob was speaking earlier about that newspaper headline, No Place or No Country for Young Men. And he mentioned the lost generation. Do you know, I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, I'm one of those lost generation. I left school at a time when there were very, very few jobs in this country. And here I am, you know, great. So that should be an encouragement for a start. Hey, right? But just Proverbs 3, what Rob was saying there, verses 5 and 6 speak very, very deeply to me. About 7 years ago, I became a Christian. I grew up in a Christian family, if you like, but never really had any sort of a relationship with the Lord. And I'm not going to get into the whole testimony thing, but early on in my Christian walk, I came across this particular these two verses from Proverbs, and I thought, hey, you know, that's a really good way to live a life, is to trust God. And I thought about that, and I put that away, and I thought, that's nice. And life went on anyway. I ran my own business. Somebody planted a few bombs and a few planes that crashed into the Twin Towers. Remember that? And we all thought the world was going to grind to a halt that day. The insurance industry particularly decided the world was going to grind to a halt, and the following year decided that they weren't going to insure any unusual risks. And I couldn't get insurance from my business. And basically, well, I did. I got a quote of a premium for a small business now of €80,000. That was the premium. I didn't want to buy the insurance company, just the premium for the year. From maybe about, I think it was about €9,000 or €10,000 it had previously been. So myself and my business partner, we decided, okay, well, look, we have to do this. We have to go with it. Don't know how we're going to do it. We have to go with it, otherwise we close down. And I remember sitting up on top of a telephone mast up in Slane in County Meath, as one does if you're in the business that I'm in, and thinking one day, this is crazy. This is mad. This is lunatic. This is ridiculous. I'm going to lose my home. I'm going to lose everything, because there's no way could I possibly cover that premium. So I decided, sitting up there, I can still see the view from that mast. The wise and sensible thing to do here is to, you know, throw in the towel and go and work for somebody else. So, happy that I'd made a decision, trundled off down to a coffee shop, not in Costa Rica this time, but in Slane, and sat there and poured myself a cup of coffee, pulled out a sachet of sugar, and on that little sachet of sugar, I don't know whether you've seen any of these, the little proverb, an Irish proverb, and it said, God's help is nearer than the door. I looked at this and I thought, bloody hell. And or worse to that effect. And I said to myself, and I suddenly remember Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. My own understanding was, 80 grand, not a chance. Not going to work. Can't be done. Proverbs was saying, trust in the Lord. So that day in that coffee shop, I remember saying, Lord, okay, this is over to you. If you want me to continue in this business, well then, some solution will come to this problem. If you have some other plan for me, I have no idea what it is, over to you. And I suppose really at that point I was saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust in you, not lean on my own understanding, but also I'm acknowledging your plans, whatever they happen to be. The following Friday, my business partner rang me. I was off somewhere. And he said to me, I'm putting something in the post. You'll get it at home on Monday morning. Read it and give me a ring. And I said, come on. Tell me, what is it? And he said, no. He said, listen, I really can't explain this to you. I just couldn't possibly try and describe it. Look at the post on Monday morning. Opened the post on Monday morning, and it was a copy of a quote from another insurance company, which was half our original premium. Half our original premium, right? I rang him, I said, what sort of joke is this? And he says, it's not a joke. He says, I met a guy in a pub. He gave me an introduction. I rang the guy, and I have this quote. I said, right, take it. But he said, we've already got insurance. I said, take it. Let's be doubly insured. What happened to trust there? I don't know. But anyway, and I really sat back and I said, Lord, I'm speechless even now thinking about it. Right? And from that moment onwards, that whole concept of Proverbs, of trusting the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. And that's the hardest part for me in my life, is acknowledging the Lord, and he will make your path straight. And I think we live in very uncertain times, as Rob described earlier there. And you know, I think the challenge is to say, yeah, okay, we don't know what's going to happen to the economy. We don't know what's going to happen to our jobs. We don't know what's going to happen in Haiti. We don't understand the world that we live in. But hey, if we trust in the Lord and acknowledge him, you know, and that has been my experience. I can describe a number of other situations since that one that I've just described, where, you know, I've kind of stopped in my tracks and say, okay, Lord. You know, I come from a mountaineering background, a member of a mountain rescue team for a long number of years, and the number of times I've been out on the hillside in atrocious weather, in whiteout conditions, where you can't see where you're going, and you think you know where you're going, and suddenly you realize you've been walking around in circles. I can say that now. There was a time when I couldn't admit that because everybody thought he was a great guy, you know, a great mountaineer, right? But then you suddenly stop and take out your compass and look at your compass and follow that compass, even though your heart says, no, that's not the right way, because we think we know better. Follow the compass. The Lord is our compass. We've got to trust in that compass. Trust in the Lord. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 describes it as a map. It's a map and a compass. And, you know, I think it's really encouraging and you know, trust in the Lord.
Thank you very much, Malcolm. George, round of applause. Excellent. So you're good at mountaineering. Fancy a trip to the Antarctic. Okay. I think I just wanted to use that, I guess, as a practical framework for someone I know personally, and perhaps you've only heard that story for the first time tonight, but I guess all of us have different stories in varying degrees of the constant pull on our lives to want to trust in ourselves. And yes, I want to be clear that we do have responsibility. Of course we do. We can't just sit back in coffee shops and flick through sugar packets and hope everything will change. God uses those processes, as Malcolm has said, to initiate the faith process, and that he was saying, I am with you and I will open a door. And I think he uses a multiplicity of ways, but for your situation, whatever is ahead, whatever is lying ahead for you or for someone you know, maybe it's even just sharing this scripture with them, just to say that actually there is another way for them, another way for you. So I simply just want to pray to close up this evening. And whatever your dreams are, whatever you have for the year, whatever is ahead, whatever the things are you need a map for, try to shift your posture from leaning not on your own understanding, but rather trust in the Lord, and he will make your path straight. And amen to that.